We got breaking news. Iran vows revenge on Israel after assassination of Hamas leader.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open right now at 1-800-684-3110. Obviously monitoring all the coverage from overnight as there were two major moves by Israel to take out two terrorist leaders. Jordan's joining us. Jordan, get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you've got a major leader of Hezbollah who has been taken out. This, of course, after that horrendous strike by Hezbollah in southern Lebanon that was on utilizing an Iranian weapon that killed 12 Israelis. But interesting just to note, mostly young people, by the way, injuring an additional, I think, 20 pretty seriously, they targeted a Druze community. And the Druze community lives freely with a religious freedom in Israel. They would define themselves as Israelis, but they also happen to be Muslims, Logan. And so, again, it shows that when these terror groups attack Israel, yes, of course, their focus is of destroying the Jewish state, but you have to remember that Israel is a multi-religious country with people of different religious backgrounds, including Muslims who live and support the state of Israel.
That's right.
So that was hit number one. And then hit number two, Logan, is probably the biggest hit we've seen on a terrorist since we killed Baghdadi from ISIS. The head of the Hamas Politburo, this is the head Hamas political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, who was basically being protected in Doha, Qatar, living like a billionaire, went to the swearing in of the new Iranian president, and in Tehran was killed. Now, we don't have details there yet. Israel has not yet claimed responsibility, but he was – how embarrassing for Iran that the one time this Hamas leader leaves Doha inside their capital country, they can't protect him, and he is now gone.
Right. He was just hours before, maybe even minutes before, chanting with a crowd while he was embracing people, chanting death to Israel, death to America. And this is what happens. Will, it is a big moment. We got a packed show, and then we got to tell you about it, because today is the last day for our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. And let's go do that. This is it. It is our – everybody with 2 minutes left here. It's our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. It ends tonight at midnight. We're facing a historic attack right now on our freedoms. And you know, we talk about this, you know, nonstop, and you guys have been heard about it all month, but our mission has never been more urgent. We can't carry on this mission without you, our ACLJ supporters and champions, but we're still way short of our goal for today. Today is one of our biggest fundraising days of the year. We need your support right now. Have your gifts doubled now at ACLJ.org. Your support is what keeps us in the fight, and we're facing, again, like I said, some of the biggest challenges we've ever faced right now as we head into a very historic fall. You need to be a part of this, and today we are filing. We've already filed. We could be our most important brief ever in defense of Israel at the ICC to defeat its attempt to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Again, that's at the International Criminal Court. Tomorrow, we are filing our reply brief at the Supreme Court to defend pro-life counselors from being prosecuted for saving unborn babies. It's the Turco case. And yesterday was National Whistleblower Day, and we're fighting to defend our FBI whistleblower clients in federal court. There is so much happening right now, and we're about to appeal a major prayer case you've heard about in Ocala, Florida. It's at the Federal Appeals Court to defend public prayer. We can't do any of this, though, without your support. Have your gifts doubled before our midnight Life and Liberty Drive deadline. Tonight at midnight, it all ends. Our July Life and Liberty Drive is over, and your donations are doubled up until then. Scan that QR code on your screen right now. Do it while you're on the air, and let me know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, let me know in the comments if you donated at all this month or if you donated today. You decide, I'm going to wait till the last minute. That's what I do. I wait till the last minute. I'm part of the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, but phone lines are also open for your phone calls when you hear this news coming out of Israel. We want to make sure you are informed. We got a packed show with a lot of guests coming up as well. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And again, Life and Liberty Drive happening right now. We'll be right back.
Seculo. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As you see, I am traveling on the road, but Logan and Will are both in our studios as well. Got great guests coming up for both segments of the broadcast. We're going to be joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to discuss these issues, but also the incoming ambassador to the United Nations for Israel, our good friend Danny Danone. So they're both going to be joining us. And Logan, so much to talk about here. This final day of our Life and Liberty Drive, where we are filing at the International Criminal Court. And I want to underscore to people, we are filing in a case because this is about whether or not the International Criminal Court should move forward with indictments against Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli leaders, even though Israel is not a party to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. And of course, the Palestinians are not a state, so they cannot secede their jurisdiction to the criminal court. For the first time, Logan, that we've done it this way, because we've done so much ICC work. So I want to underscore that for our ACLJ listeners, because the ICC's top goal is not just to get Israelis. It's ultimately to figure out how could they get Americans, even if we aren't part of the International Criminal Court. So what we're doing here, we had to file to make sure we could file. And so we put that filing forward. And the International Criminal Court said, absolutely, yes, we want to hear your position because of your expertise on the issue of International Criminal Court and its jurisdiction. Because, Logan, we've been there before defending Israel's interest, defending America's interest, and we are back now probably in the biggest brief that we've ever filed there to defend the interest of Israel.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen. I think we should play this clip. Vice President Harris spoke on this morning. She spoke on the taking out of two of the major terrorist leaders. And of course, if you're looking towards an election in November, you want to know what is a President Harris administration, if that was to happen, what would it look like for the state of Israel? And again, you're coming on the heels of taking out two people, Will, neither of which are good guys, some of which are responsible for the death of hundreds.
That's right. And this statement that we are about to see is from Vice President Harris as she landed in Atlanta last night to speak to a major rally she had there. And this was specifically about the first assassination, the one that Israel has taken credit for, the one in Beirut that was a retaliation for that strike that hit a soccer field. And they took out this high-ranking Hezbollah commander. And just listen to how she phrases this. And then I'm going to give you some context about who this individual was as we go here. So let's go ahead and play bite one, the video.
I want to address what's happened over the last few hours in terms of the Middle East and be very clear. Israel has a right to defend itself, and I unequivocally support Israel's right to remain secure and to defend the security of Israel. What we know in particular is, yes, it has a right to defend itself against a terrorist organization, which is exactly what Hezbollah is. But all of that being said, we still must work on a diplomatic solution to end these attacks, and we will continue to do that work.
We should restate it just so people know. She said, I want to address what's happened over the last few hours in terms of the Middle East and be very clear. Israel has a right to defend itself. I honestly support Israel's right to remain secure and to defend the security of Israel. That's where sometimes you can go to a full stop, but of course, that's not where we go. What we know in particular is, yes, it has the right to defend itself against terrorist organizations, which is exactly what Hezbollah is. But all that being said, we must still work on a diplomatic solution to this, and we'll continue to do that work.
That's right. And the problem here is, and Jordan, I want to get your take on this, is it's one thing to say we want to work on a diplomatic solution. That's what they say many times. But you'd think after this specific terrorist was taken out by Israel, there would be a little bit of a different tune from the person running to be the president of the United States, because Shakur, who was the commander of Hezbollah that was taken out, he was responsible for that 1983 Marine barracks attack that killed 241 U.S. Marines. And not only did that happen, but there was a $5 million bounty on his head from the United States to get him. So instead of talking about diplomatic solutions, Jordan, maybe she should be talking about, thank you, Israel, for getting a top target of the U.S.
Well, this is when you wonder, was she not briefed by her own team before making this remark saying, hey, by the way, this was not just somebody that Israel wanted. This is somebody we've had a multi-million dollar bounty out for over 20 years and getting close to 30 years. And that this multi-million dollar bounty obviously could be fulfilled. I don't know if it'll be paid to Israel. That maybe it should be as extraditional support, because they also took out someone that was responsible for the death of so many U.S. Marines at that Marine barrack in 1987, which was really the founding of this movement. But I do want people to understand that this attack to take out this Hezbollah leader inside Beirut is taking the world, Logan. It's taking it to another level. So what you saw from the U.S. right before this attack was telling U.S. citizens to get out of Beirut. This did not happen in southern Lebanon, where Hezbollah and Israel routinely exchange fire. This happened in the capital of Lebanon, in the area of the city, Beirut, that Hezbollah controls. And if you've read up about that part of the city in Lebanon, I mean, it is very much like entering in an Iranian proxy area. And of course, it was a surgical strike. So it was not a strike to kind of take out 10 or 15 or 20 people here. And again, this will send the Middle East into some major issues that the next president of the United States is going to have to deal with, because things are going to keep happening there. And that's gonna keep piling up as we get to the presidential election. So whether or not President Trump or Kamala Harris really want to spend a lot of time on this issue, they're going to have to. And she needs to be a lot better briefed about who these individuals are that were killed, because she should have been thanking Israel for taking out someone on our wanted list that high up, you know, multi-million dollar a bounty on his head from the United States because of his responsibility of killing U.S. Marines. Justice was served by our ally Israel. And Logan, that's an important kind of point to underscore. Oftentimes, when Israel gets a win, we are also getting a win, because they are taking out leaders who have also either been responsible or would like to be responsible for killing Americans.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you on this and our situation with Israel. Do you think this escalates the war? Do you think this actually starts to turn it down? We were talking about last night. Does this have an actual impact where you go, okay, they've taken out now ahead of Hezbollah, ahead of Hamas, very quickly, within a few hours, potentially. You know, Israel hasn't made claim for both, but let's just assume for argument's sake that they did. Does this escalate the war, or does this actually start to bring things to a head and bring things to an end? Because you see top leaders of these terrorist organizations being taken out strategically, as Jordan said. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And where does America play in that? And it's also the midnight deadline tonight, again, of our Life and Liberty Drive.
That's right. And Jordan, this is something I know that we're going to get into with Secretary Pompeo in the next segment. But the Ayatollah has put out this statement: with this action, the criminal and terrorist Zionist regime prepared for the ground for harsh punishment for itself. And we consider it our duty to seek revenge for his blood as he was martyred in the territory of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran is in a really interesting position right now. And we saw that when an IRGC commander was taken out just several months ago by Israel, Iran tried to show, look, we're going to shoot rockets at Israel, and all of them failed to do any real damage to the state of Israel. And so they were embarrassed by that. And then they lost their president in a helicopter crash. And now what we're seeing is that Israel showed they could strike deep within Tehran and take out a Hamas leader, so no terrorist is safe in Tehran like they used to believe. I think that Iran wants to do revenge, but may not know if they're strong enough to have a revenge.
Listen, Iran sent 1,000 kamikaze drones at Israel. And with the help of the United States and our other Gulf allies, only one of those even landed. So just imagine that. That was embarrassing enough. But to have the head leader of Hamas taken out in Tehran during a presidential inauguration, when their security, you would imagine, would be at its highest point, and he's staying at an Iranian, you would imagine being very guarded there, just shows you that Iran and the Islamic Republic of Iran cannot keep terrorists safe. it cannot keep its own top leaders safe from the United States, from Israel, or whichever country ultimately ends up saying they were responsible for this. You've got to support our Life and Liberty Drive. We are filing today at the International Criminal Court. This is the final day, of course, of the month. This needs to be the biggest day financially at the ACLJ, and your donations will be doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate today. That's aclj.org. Donate today, and we will be right back on the air with Secretary Pompeo, Logan.
That's right. You should join us for that coming up in the next segment. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We have a couple lines still open. But this is it. This is our Life and Liberty Drive deadline for the month of July. It ends tonight. Our matching moment ends here tonight. Have your gifts doubled before our midnight Life and Liberty Drive deadline. You can scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching, or at aclj.org directly. You just go to aclj.org in this next 2-minute break and make your donation right now.
Welcome back to Seculo. Our senior counsel for global affairs is I'm on the road, and we've got our team in the studio as well. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is joining us now. And Secretary Pompeo, my first question to you, we've had so much action over the last few days inside the Middle East, specifically in Lebanon. And now, of course, we're seeing it in not just the Middle East, but in Iran as well. And we saw at first that Israel promised to revenge that deadly strike on the Druze community that killed so many of their children. Those happened to be Druze that are Israeli citizens, but practiced a form of Islam, that were killed by Hezbollah. And we saw the strike, now two major strikes, one against Hezbollah in Beirut that took out a major leader that the U.S. had a bounty on, but also the taking out of the leader of Hamas's political their Politburo, basically. And though Israel has at this point not taken responsibility for that, just your reaction to both of these major terrorist leaders being wiped off the face of the earth.
Jordan, it's very clear that Israel both has the capability to continue these kinds of very targeted, right? No civilians harmed in Tehran, as best we can tell. Characterized as the most senior leadership that has foisted this terror on its own people, and that they're determined to do so. I think that's demonstrably too, and it's got to be making the Ayatollah and the leadership in the IRGC rethink what they're going to do. And that's the mission set. The mission set, frankly, is to convince the Iranians that this is not worth the candle. So whether it's missiles being fired into the shipping lanes in the Middle East from the Houthis in Yemen, or whether it's the attacks out of Iraq and Syria into Israel, or the direct attacks out of Iran, we have to restore deterrence. And my regret is that while the Israelis are doing remarkable work on the ground, the American political leadership is not doing what it needs to do to convince the Iranians that the cost of this continued terror, this continued aggression against Israel and the United States, is too high.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, I want to ask you this, because Fuad Shakur, he was the Hezbollah commander that was taken out in Beirut. He is someone who has a long terror sheet and has a $5 million bounty on his head from the United States because of his involvement in the Hezbollah attacks on the Marine barracks in the 1980s, which led to over 200 U.S. Marines being killed, and kind of was a kicking off point for a lot of these radical Islamic groups that were starting to form in the 1970s and 80s, not just Palestinian, but inside a newly radicalized Iran after the Islamic revolution there. Just to kind of explain to people, what kind of message does that send to other Hezbollah leaders? Because we got kind of a mixed message from Vice President Harris, who's now taking the lead on these kind of statements. On the one hand, saying it's good that he's gone, but also that we need to get to a diplomatic solution because we don't want to see a full-scale war in Lebanon. And the fact is, this is someone who had a U.S. bounty on their head.
Well, that's exactly right. And good riddance to this man who killed dozens of Americans that we're aware of. Who knows how many other terror plots he's had his hand in that are publicly known. So good riddance to him. Having said that, when you hear Vice President Harris speak about the fact that she's you know, not, that she's watching and she feels for these innocent civilians. Well, of course she does. And then she'll say, well, Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, of course they do. But what she is leaving out is these are not morally equivalent, that the loss of the civilian life that has taken place is the direct responsibility of this very same regime in Iran and the Hamas folks who conducted their attack on the 7th and the Hezbollah folks this past week. And when she does that, Jordan, what she does is she emboldens the bad guys. And so while these senior leaders have now been eliminated, it will be next man up. I am convinced that absent American leadership to push back against Iran, they will find new leaders. They may not be as good or as capable. They may not be as experienced. But they're going to continue this campaign because they don't value the loss of life like we do. And second, it has been demonstrably true that they have now shrunk the footprint of Israel, with 80,000 Israelis still not back in their homes in the northern part of their country. And so this effort will continue until the United States, the Gulf states, our European allies all join hands to help Israel push back against Iran and impose real sanctions and real costs on them.
You know, I wanted to ask you about Ismail Haniyeh, because this is someone who's lived an interesting life in the sense of being a political leader from Hamas, and then he sought refuge in Doha, decided to make this trip for the new Iranian president's swearing in. I think here, very embarrassing for Iran that they cannot keep their fellow terror leaders that they work with and sponsor safe even inside Tehran. It tells you that almost they are all reachable to whoever ultimately does or doesn't claim responsibility for this. It is a major day that he has been taken out. But how do you think it affects what's going on in Gaza? I know, of course, you've got Sinwar, the military leader of Hamas, still kind of using human shields to cover himself up. But if Ismail Haniyeh is gone, I mean, they are working through getting rid of the Hamas leadership structure. And these were guys, Secretary Pompeo, by living in Doha in those multi-million dollar apartments and with their billions of dollars, seemed like they'd almost be untouchable. Yet the moment they left, they are gone.
Yes, Jordan, I suspect trips from Doha to Tehran by these senior leaders will be greatly and that their life insurers have now increased their premiums significantly as well. Look, the reality is that we have repeatedly demonstrated that we can reach out and touch Iranian senior leadership. We did it in the Trump administration with Soleimani. We shouldn't forget the CIA during the Trump administration took out the number two of Al-Qaeda, who wasn't in Afghanistan, but rather was in Tehran. We claimed responsibility for that strike. His name is Mohammed al-Masri. He was the deputy emir of Al-Qaeda. And so I do think all the Iranian leadership recognizes that they are vulnerable. But the question is, how do you convince them that that vulnerability is sufficient, that they ought to cease this terror campaign that they've been at for decades? And the only way to do that is to deny them resources, continue to apply pressure, and make very clear that the United States and Israel are truly inseparable. We're going to provide them every single thing that they need, intelligence collection, signals availability, all the weaponry that they need, and we're going to let them unleash it in a way that will defend their nation. When we do that, the Gulf Arab states will see that. They will see that Iran is a threat to them as well, and they will work alongside us to counter that Iranian threat.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, it is great to have you as part of our team at the American Center for Law and Justice and to be on the broadcast when you've got such breaking news, both in out of Lebanon, out of course, Iran, and both involving terror leaders. Some who have been involved in, of course, direct targets and killing on Americans. So we appreciate that. And even Haniyeh, because of the U.S. Logan, we still have Americans who are being held inside the Gaza Strip.
That's right. That's happening right now. We need to make sure we don't forget about those. We don't forget about the American hostages as well as the Israeli hostages. Still, like you said, captured. We'll make sure we get them back. Phone lines are open for your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you lose us here, this is the opportunity. We are wrapping up our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July in just a few hours at midnight tonight. We need you right now. We've made some good headway, but we're short of our goal. We need your support. Right now, have your gift doubled because all donations are matched, tax deductible, and matched. So scan the QR code right now. Go to aclj.org before midnight. You know what? Just do it right now. Do it right now as you're watching this. We only got a 1-minute break, and then we're right back on it for another half hour. Join us live.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo, folks. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And we'll have a segment coming up in this, again, second half hour where we want to take your calls, your thoughts on what is happening both inside the United States, inside Israel. And Logan, for you and Will, I mean, I think it's just so important to underscore that we have not only seen Israel take out a top Hezbollah commander so quickly after that horrible attack by Hezbollah on a predominantly Muslim Israeli community, Druze community in northern Israel, where at least 12 were killed, most of them young people between the ages of 12 and 20, and many more seriously injured. And Israel responds in a very targeted way, not by opening up an entire war on Hezbollah, by taking out a key Hezbollah leader with a surgical strike inside Beirut. This is the same a Hezbollah leader that the U.S. has placed a multi-million dollar bounty on because of his responsibility in the 1987 Beirut U.S. Marine barrack bombings that killed over 230 U.S. Marines in the 1980s. So both a evil person when it comes to killing Americans through terrorism, and evil when it comes to killing these Israeli Muslims in this case, and Israel responded surgically. And then the targeted assassination of the head of Hamas. I mean, just to underscore that, who was living so peacefully, Will and Logan, in Doha, and able to be a part of negotiations, and probably thought his life was not in jeopardy. So he even traveled to Tehran outside of the protection zone of Doha. And the moment he was there, I mean, he took a few photos, he went to the swearing in, and he has now gone off the face of the earth, Ismail Haniyeh. So inside Iran, Iranians could not protect their allies. I think that's the big point I want to underscore, Logan and Will, is that Iran acts tough, but the second one of their top terrorist leaders ends up, you know, showing up there for an event that's kind of public, they're dead. And you have to wonder, what's happening to that Islamic Jihad leader who was also in the same picture with Haniyeh? Has he made it out safely from Iran yet? I mean, it's not a country that gives a lot of clear information, though this time both Hamas and Iran confirmed that Haniyeh has been killed.
That's right, Jordan. And as we're seeing the media react to this as well, it's once again, Israel takes a surgical strike as retaliation for terror, which is what those in Hamas and Hezbollah conduct on Israel daily. Just as you mentioned, killing 12 innocent civilians of a minority group in Israel on a soccer field. And Israel doesn't just go carpet bomb Lebanon. They instead do a surgical strike and take out those responsible. It's what we always say on this show, is that Israel takes great care to get justice and to fight back, but they don't resort to the terror tactics that the terrorists do. But also, you're seeing, as you mentioned, that Haniyeh was sitting next to the leader of Palestinian Islamic Jihad at the inauguration of the president of Iran. But you're seeing headlines like this out of Reuters: tough-talking Haniyeh was seen as the more moderate face to Hamas. So even now, you're having Reuters, which loves to run interference for the terrorist groups, still trying to cover up. This is as when Soleimani was killed and they tried to say the austere leader. You're seeing the media falling into this trap.
Yeah, folks, we need your support at the ACLJ. This is, again, our final day of our July matching challenge, Life and Liberty Drive. We're filing at the ICC on behalf of Israel today. So we need you to support our work at ACLJ.org, where you can double the impact of your donation. And Logan, this is a critical time right now for people to take action.
That's right, ACLJ.org right now, or scan your QR code to support us during this final deadline for our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. The midnight deadline happens tonight. Be a part of it. Your donations are doubled. This is a big day for the ACLJ. We're a little bit behind. We really could use your support. You guys have showed up in a big way, as I was saying that, over the week. This is it, though. Be a part of it right now. Make your donations doubled as we speak until midnight. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We have special guests joining us. Before we do, though, I want to pose this question to you. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We were talking in the break. Interesting conversation point. Why is it that we have heard already from Vice President Harris, from Kamala Harris, but not from President Biden? Does this indicate, do you think, that she is working as sort of a not-so-shadow president at this point? What do you think? 1-800-684-3110 again with that statement from Vice President Harris as if she's the president, but nothing from Joe Biden. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan.
Logan, I mean, that is very interesting. I do want to hear people have to think about that. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to open up all the lines now so that in our final segment of the broadcast, we can take calls from all of you at 1-800-684-3110. We have a very special guest joining us now. The former Israeli ambassador to the UN, who is also the current incoming Israeli ambassador to the UN, who will be seated in that place in August. That is Ambassador Danny Danone of Israel joining us now. And Ambassador Danone, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. My first question to you, I think a lot of Americans and a lot of our viewers of this broadcast and listeners of the broadcast would like to kind of know, is the Israeli perspective of both the elimination of the Hezbollah leader in Beirut and the elimination of Hamas's political leader, Ismail Haniyeh.
Thank you for having me again, Jordan. It's always a pleasure discussing with you the issues in the Middle East. You know, we took responsibility to the attack against the leader of Hezbollah, a notorious terrorist that is responsible for the killing of many Americans and many Israelis for decades. It was an important message to Hezbollah after they fired and killed 12 innocent kids who were playing soccer over the weekend. I think it was the right response, and we'll continue to do whatever is necessary to make sure that our civilians can play soccer, can have a normal life in the northern part of Israel. Regarding to the attack in Iran, Israel, we haven't taken responsibility. From foreign reports, we learned that it was an attack that was originated in Iran against a notorious terrorist as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Ambassador Danone, because these are happening so quickly back together. I think you did make an interesting point. We've been making it clear through the broadcast. Israel has taken responsibility for what has happened inside Beirut with that surgical strike on a Hezbollah commander. There has not been responsibility taken by any nation on the killing of Ismail Haniyeh and inside Tehran. He was there for the inauguration of the new Iranian president. Interesting point, though, just to point out to everybody, is that inside Iran, where you've got this, you know, terror-led state, they don't have the security apparatus to even keep their own terrorist friends safe. I want to go to you on this, Ambassador Danone, as well, because I think the American people do need some education on this. We're hearing a lot about, oh no, by Israel taking out this, you know, Hezbollah commander, who, by the way, the U.S. also had a multi-million-dollar bounty on because of his role in killing U.S. Marines in the 1987 Beirut bombing, the Barrack bombing attacks, is that somehow, because of Israel's reaction to being fired on and its citizens being killed by Hezbollah, a lot of young people being killed, that Israel is starting, you know, another major a conflict, instead of focusing in on who the actual bad guys are in this situation.
Indeed, and you know, you mentioned the attack on the Marine Corps in Beirut. Think about how many terror attacks these individuals planned over the years. We're talking almost 40 years that is involved in terrorism, and that's unfortunate, because today Lebanon is in the hands of Iran. Hezbollah took over that country, and I'm saying it very clearly that the Lebanese government should be responsible for what's happening in Lebanon, because we will not continue to sit idly by when rockets are flying from Lebanon into Israel.
You know, we know this is a critical time for Israel. We have an office there. We've worked closely with you, Ambassador Danone, in many different ways and in different stages of your career as well. And I think it's time that Israel does have you back at the United Nations, because just to kind of explain to people, what is it like to be the ambassador of the country most sanctioned by the world but yet also a top U.S. ally at the United Nations?
Well, I can tell you it's challenging, and I chose to come back because I understand that we are now in a crucial time for the history of the Jewish people. You know, we read in the Bible about times of crisis and war, but we are now facing a war. We are being attacked from all fronts, from Iran, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, and it reminds us of biblical times. So I think now it's time for courage. You know, it's very hard to be the ambassador, because most of the day you are by yourself facing the lies and the hypocrisy at the heart of the UN. But I know we have many supporters, you know, outside of the UN, Christians and Jews who stand with us, pray for us. So I know that, you know, most of the day I stand by myself against evil, but I know I represent millions of followers and supporters who stand with the Jewish people today.
That's so important for our listeners to hear, too, is the importance of their support for Israel, Ambassador Danone, that you really do, and Israel really values that support, especially inside the United States. So when we see any of those cracks start to form, whether it's in the Christian community, whether it's in certain political communities inside the United States, I think it's important that we all go back and give everybody some education. And people on this broadcast are also good at going and then giving people that are listening, getting their friends educated about who is right and who is wrong, because we don't need to see college kids in America flying the flags of Hamas and flying the flags of Hezbollah.
And that's exactly what we need. You know, what you're doing on the show and what your family and your father is involved for so many years, you know, it's essential for moral clarity and to understand that we have 115 hostages in the hands of Hamas. And everybody is pushing Israel for a ceasefire, but I don't hear them calling for the release of the hostages. And I can tell you, we will not forget them. I met the families and I told them, I will go to the UN. I will speak on behalf of your daughters and children that were abducted from their homes, and we will not sit until we bring them back home.
You know, Logan and Will, I wanted to check with you guys, too, if you had a question for Ambassador Danone, because it really is an honor to have him. He's both been the former ambassador to the UN for the State of Israel, and he is coming back in August to retake that position. So we'll be able to work with him again at that level at the United Nations. Logan, Will?
Well, I just wanted to thank him, obviously, for doing this and coming back and being a part of our broadcast as well. As you said, we've been on the front lines of this from a media standpoint, from a legal standpoint, the entire time, you know, for decades. Yeah. And it has been such a great privilege to work with them. And I feel like having someone that we can contact, and that's why it's important even here at the ACLJ that we have these relationships built. When you hear from people like him, when you know that when you're putting your money, when you're supporting the organization, you know that's going to making a huge impact.
I also wanted to ask you, Ambassador Danone, as we see in some of the media here in the United States that's not as friendly to Israel as they should be, they report that Haniyeh, who was the political leader of Hamas, they try to paint him as more of a moderate and not necessarily a terrorist, but that isn't the case. And I just want to get your take on the painting, trying to paint him as a moderate, if that's the reality of what we look at.
Well, he was a terrorist, you know, from day one. He was involved in planning terror attacks. He switched position recently, and he moved out from Gaza to become the one who is actually funding terror. But once he moved out, he didn't change the ideology. On the contrary, he continued to support terror and to fund terror through different ways. So no one can call him a martyr. He is a radical terrorist.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. No, I just want to thank Ambassador Danone for joining us. We are excited. Of course, we've continued to work with you inside and outside your role at the United Nations, but we're going to be excited to have you back at the United Nations at a critical time for Israel, both at the UN and in the United States of America. So playing a dual role there. We're excited to work with you as we are right now. Ambassador Danone, thanks for joining us. And Logan, critical time to support the work of the ACLJ today. Final day of our match.
This is it. Yep, the final day of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of July. If you like this broadcast, if you like the legal work we do, if you like any of the media stuff you get from the ACLJ, whether that's on YouTube, Rumble, all of that is being made by an incredible team, and we can't do it without you. This is how you support the ACLJ, with a one-time or ACLJ champion donation. You can either become a champion, which is someone who supports the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis, or just a single one-time donation. And maybe you've already given this month. We appreciate it. Doesn't mean you can't give again. Give again right now. ACLJ.org. Again, wrapping up our Life and Liberty Drive at midnight tonight. I do want to say we got about three lines open right now. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to do a short wait. I'm only take as many calls as I can in the next segment. We pose that question. Why is it that we've heard from Vice President Harris, but we haven't heard from President Biden? Is she essentially functioning now as the president? Is that what they're trying to convey? I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Last day of that Life and Liberty Drive. We'll be right back. The most important voice, yours.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. This is the final day of our July Life and Liberty Drive. As you can see, I am on the road, but I knew it was an important day to join our team, both Logan and Will, who are in the studio. Let me just really quickly say, we do these months with these drives where you double the impact of your donation, and they are economically the most important months for the ACLJ, not for us to pay our staff today, but it's so we can continue to have cases come in, whether they're as big as the International Criminal Court or as small as one individual that needs assistance and their constitutional rights have been denied at a seniors center or at school. We want to always be in the position at the ACLJ where we can do two things. One, represent anyone who contacts us that we believe we should be representing. We can't take every case because the ACLJ, as a nonprofit, there's certain cases we can take. But you go to aclj.org/help to contact our attorneys to let you know. But we always want to be able to, one, then take any case that we feel is right to take, large or small, without having to worry about financial resources. And two, that if we need to bring on additional attorneys or additional specialty staff for that case, that we absolutely can to defend the rights of Americans. And so you as ACLJ donors and supporters, make sure that all of our rights get defended across the country in courts, in the halls of Congress, in international courts, and in international tribunals. So it's a great time, Logan, to donate to the ACLJ as we go to the phone and get some calls.
Yep, let's do it right now. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eugene, who's calling in California. Online too, Eugene, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'll try to be brief because I want to explain to your the gentleman before, I got kind of long-winded. But anyway, from yesterday, there was a gentleman that called, and I was trying to call at that time, and in support of what he was saying about the Republicans need to get on board with fighting. And hold, especially the politicians. It's a street fight. And one of the proposals that I sent to President Trump yesterday is an idea of creating like a poster with a line in between, have President Trump on one side and President Biden on the other side, slash Harris, and the accomplishments, what was done. And that needs to be in front of every Republican headquarters in the country.
Eugene, I understand what you mean. A list that really showcases the policy differences and the successes and failures. Yeah. Jordan, I think we've all kind of said if they would just run on that, you could probably have a winning ticket to just say, look at the clear record of the Trump administration. Look at the clear record of the Biden-Harris administration.
Well, I may be announcing this a little early, but ACLJ Action is working on that for our supporters right now so that they will receive that if they are supporters of the ACLJ. I think that we're even going to get that inside the mail and electronically in both snail mail as we get closer to the election. Of course, because we've had a change in who likely the Democrat nominee will be, we are then going back through the Harris record, which, again, is not exactly the same as Biden. She obviously owns everything that the Biden administration did, but she also owns all of her political past, which is which is a lot different than running for vice president. You don't focus as much on that. This time we are. So they'll actually be getting likely a kind of ACLJ-focused voter guide as we get closer. But obviously, glad we didn't do it already because, one, there's a lot still happening in the world, especially when it comes to security and Israel. And of course, in the U.S. with the lawfare and the election. But we also have had a change in who the likely Democrat candidate's going to be. So, I mean, you know, the questions of will there be a debate? There's a lot to talk about in that political world as well. But right now, you know, today we're getting that brief into the ICC. As people hear us, it's being filed, and everybody doesn't get accepted into filing a brief at the ICC. So your support of the ACLJ for years, some of you, has gotten us to the level at the ICC where we are seen as top experts on these issues. Whether they agree with our position or not, Logan, they want to get our opinion before they move forward on any prosecutions of Israeli leaders. And of course, our opinion is you don't have jurisdiction, and yet they have accepted, and today will accept our entire brief that we're filing there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to always support the work of the ACLJ, because it's not just a broadcast thing. We make sure people know that, especially since we know almost 50% are non-subscribers that watch on YouTube or Rumble every day. They're brand new to this broadcast. They understand this is not just a show. This is an amazing legal effort that has been taken on by the ACLJ, our European Center, our ACLJ Jerusalem. This is just a small portion of what you're seeing. It's an amazing portion. We have a great team putting together an incredible show. But it is just a small portion of what's going on, which is why you need to continue to support the work. Let's continue. Go on the phones. Let's go to Melissa, who's calling in South Carolina, watching on Rumble, our favorite free speech platform. Melissa, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, or good, Logan, Jordan. I think the Kamala Harris being up front in the news now is just to get her more votes, to get her more a platform. And I do think that she's going to tone down all of her ideologies because she wants to get conservative votes. And I think they're going to make that to confuse us. But I don't feel like she's operating as the president yet. I just think that they're trying to give her more coverage now that she's the main candidate.
I thought what was interesting, most interesting, Logan and Will, just talk about for a second politically. You were watching the Olympic coverage last night, but I had it on another news channel that had their top political reporter out of D.C. in Atlanta, Georgia. And there was a very large rally for Harris there. And they went through the line. And, of course, there's a large African-American community, predominant majority in Atlanta and in Fulton County. And they went through the line. They asked an interesting question to these voters. They said, would you be here? It was very hot outside as it is in the Southeast. I'm probably sweating even inside right now. So I did let you know I'm in the Southeast. Would you be standing in this line if it was a rally for Joe Biden? And not one of the people standing in that line, which was a big event, said they would be. So there has been a shift even inside the not just Democrat voters, but also some voters who may not have been even interested in voting for Joe Biden, who have now got a new interest in seeing potentially the first a black woman become president of the United States. So not only the first woman, but a woman of color.
Yeah, absolutely. Look.
So it changes the things politically, whether you, and we're just honest on this.
Yeah,
show.
The people are looking for.
You've seen how the Trump campaign has had to significantly change. They've kind of been leaking a little bit too, maybe too much, to places like Drudge and others about some of their concerns they're having about how Harris has changed this race. It's certainly not over. She owns this tough Biden record, but it's going to look very differently than we thought even when we were at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, and it's a very short amount of time, under 100 days, to get things together and to get, you know, campaign ads, everything put together to really go after a potential Harris administration. And they've had years to plan against a President Trump run, and now you have the flip of it. 90 days, 100 days. What is it going to look like? Either way, the ACLJ is going to be there, whether it's a President Trump administration, a President Harris administration. Hey, some of you said, even if it's a Kennedy administration. Well, we need you to support our work right now, whether it's this broadcast, our legal work, our work in Israel, in Europe, all over the planet. You need to be a part of it. This is it. The midnight deadline is tonight for our Life and Liberty Drive, and we're facing, obviously, historic attacks on faith and on freedom, and you need to be a part of it. Become an ACLJ supporter, or if you can, become an ACLJ champion. Do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org and have your donations doubled. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Midnight deadline tonight.